in the van with J.R. Diggs. That's me. And this is the music to kick off this week's podcast, where I will be interviewing, talking with, chatting with the man responsible for ruining my life, essentially, for making me think that I could be somebody in late night television and have a great career and a great life. And that didn't work out. And it's mostly, partly all his fault. Can't wait to introduce you to him as soon as I get back to Hamilton, to the Cotton Factory and the studio we have set up in the clock tower there.
What do you think of the good space we got?
You know, everybody told me that you were like in the Phantom of the Opera space, and I thought, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know where the hell he is.
Yeah. Don't know who the hell I am.
No, where the hell
he is. Yeah.
Have you started yet?
We do it all.
The courtesy of telling me when you started.
No, there's
part
of
the protocol.
No, you don't ever. There's only so many courtesies I will pay my guest.
Great. Great. Where am I in this fine pool?
You know where you are now.
Pleasantry.
You can't. Yeah. It was bad enough. When people are in my van, they literally can't get out.
What kind of van was it?
It still is. It's in the parking lot. A 1990 Ford Econoline.
Wow.
It's got a...
Do you sleep in it ever?
I have, sure. Yeah. And it's endorsed by George Clooney.
In what way?
He just thought it was great.
That's endorsed.
Okay. Right?
I thought there was a corporate
thing. No, and then Alicia Keys sang about it.
Fantastic.
Is this impressing you?
No.
Come on.
Why should it impress me?
Because these are big names that you would think aren't in any way associated with me.
How much importance do you attach to big names being attached to you?
Pardon me?
How much importance do you attach to big names being attached to you?
Oh, it's basically my entire identity.
Well, that's comforting. Yeah, good to know you have a real center of gravity there. That's great.
I should properly introduce you.
Whatever you want to do is fine.
Let me just say this. Let me just say one thing. I have so many things I want to talk to you about, and it's been a pleasure to meet you, finally. Blame you to your face for making me believe. I know you didn't make me, you didn't try to make me, but it made seeing you on television, you know, having a late night talk show, the first one I'd ever seen that was Canadian, produced by Canadians for Canadians, made me believe that I could do this too. And then I went pursued this dream that turned into a nightmare. And that's your fault.
Come on.
Ralph Ben-Murgy, it's great to have you on this week's podcast. The podcast is called In the Van with J.R. Diggs.
It's hard for you to get over the van, isn't it?
I'm never going to.
it's over. You're
no,
using
it's not.
It to get from A to B. And
yeah,
it's parked.
It gets me around. We were
okay, but it's not the show. It's a van now.
It's all the above. You could sleep in it, like I said. We tracked down.
You can't remember.
Yeah,
no,
I can.
Alicia Keys, wasn't it Alicia Keys?
No, she's not.
Stevie Wonder.
No, he's never. He might think the van's great.
Ray
he can't
Charles.
Even see it.
No?
No. It's cooler than Ray Charles. I'm
Have
not a Ray
ever
Charles.
Have you read the story of Ray Charles, the life story of Ray Charles?
I've only read one book in my life. I'm not kidding you. I'm all about honesty on this podcast. One
what
full
was the book.
Book.
What was the book?
It was a biography of Wayne Gretzky. Yeah, I love Wayne Gretzky.
Well, then you. One of my credos is you have to know where the puck is going.
Okay, so there you go.
So there you go.
He did know.
Clearly.
Yeah. So off the top of the podcast, just so you know, because you weren't around for this, because you weren't in the van, you wouldn't get in the van. You said we should. No, I suggested we meet here because this is where our podcast is.
Whatever you want to say the next thing. Yeah. Go right ahead.
Okay.
A lot of commas in there.
I said that I'm having a guest on the podcast. I'm going to spend some time with the man responsible for probably the demise of my life. Okay. I guess I should tell you how I've introduced you.
You know, in therapeutic terms.
You are, I should face to face say it to you now and on the microphone here.
Yes.
You should be held accountable for all the things that I regret. I think I would have had a much better life.
Right.
If it weren't partly because of how you influenced my life.
Tell me more about that.
This is true. One night, I was watching TV, and this is after growing up on my grandfather's knee. I didn't literally grow up on his knee.
That would be painful for your grandfather.
Yeah, he was strong.
Can you get off, please?
Man, yeah. But watching Johnny Carson, and it was, I don't want to digress into that whole story, but it was just like, it was my way of staying up late. That's all it really was at my grandparents', let's say it, on a Friday night or Saturday night when, you know, my folks were off doing God knows what and abandoned us kids with the grandparents so they could live a life of debauchery for all I know.
For all you know. That one book.
Yeah. Well, it was down in Simcoe. How much debauchery could be had in Norfolk County?
A fair bit.
It's where the band is from. You know the band?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah. What's your favorite song from the band?
The Wait.
The Wait?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had them perform them. They performed that song on my show.
They did?
That TV show I did that you were watching that night.
Okay. So, thank you.
No, thank you.
I grew up wanting to be either a hockey player in the NHL or having my own late night TV show. These are the two things that I thought I was gonna. Probably most kids have dreams of, you know, being a fireman or whatever they're gonna be, and maybe we all wanted to be hockey players at one point. But because of growing up watching Johnny Carson with my grandparents, and watching them laugh and thinking this is so funny, and look at how compelled my grandparents are to the show, I believed that this was going to be my destiny. This is something that I wanted to be on television with this, whatever this was. I didn't know it at the time, but, you know, as I grew up a little bit and become a huge David Letterman fan, I realized this is called a late night talk show. Mm. And so that's what I wanted to be. That's what I wanted to spend my life doing. And I'm watching TV one night, and as a grown up, as a young man, and then on the television comes this late night talk show I've never seen before, but I could tell that it's a late night talk show because there's like a desk and there's a setup.
It's late.
And it's night and it's late. Yeah. And so I realize it's on CBC and I'm like, which show is on CBC that looks like a late night talk show? Wait a minute. This is a late night talk show on CBC, a show produced in Canada for Canadians. It was unimaginable for me to think that I could ever go like to LA like Johnny Carson or New York City like David Letterman and have this show. So maybe my dream of becoming a late night talk show wasn't realistic, or I didn't think this was realistic. Ooh. Until I see this Canadian late night talk show on CBC hosted by the man sitting across from me right now, Ralph Ben-Murgy. That's you.
Indeed. And so can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What is it that made you think I want to do this in my life, for the rest of my life? I want to be a talk show host. What is it about talk show hosts?
Well, like I was saying, I think that obviously all growing up, I think I watched, you know, Johnny Carson like weekly with my grandparents. Mm. Loved Johnny Carson. And I adored my grandparents and you know, this from Don Rickles to the, you know what I mean, all the wacky stuff that would happen on that show. Yeah. The laughter, and my family likes to laugh, and this is late at night. And also, but for me as a little kid, I just got to stay up a half hour later, right, or an hour later,
right.
And just sit here and be quiet. Nobody notices I'm here.
So it was a great land to inhabit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it was like
for me, it was the Wonderful World of Disney on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Then Bonanza.
Right.
Which is rather bizarre as a program, but nonetheless was real
right
to me. Uh-huh. But also the Ed Sullivan Show.
Right.
See, for me, the Ed Sullivan Show was the seminal program of my life. The first time the Beatles ever performed on Ed Sullivan, I saw it. The first time I watched stand-up comics one after the other.
Right.
You know, Take My Wife, Please.
Yeah.
And all this stuff.
Right.
And I couldn't wait to see the next comic or the next. Wayne and Schuster had more appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show than any other act, by far.
Wow, Canadian
could
guys.
Even do 17-minute sketches at times. The Amazing. Only ones that were allowed to break all the rules were Wayne and Schuster, and so they were a Canadian example to me on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Right.
But when I was asked to do, well, when I asked to do a program, I said, well, what kind of show do you want to do? I was doing Current Affairs at the time, a show called Midday. And I had done
Gemini. I think
Gemini,
I remember that too.
Right, so I did the Gemini Awards. Mm-hmm. And after the awards, they went rather well. Cynthia Dale was a great co-host, and it was all wonderful. We had really good ratings. And they said, well, you know, world's your oyster. What do you want? And I said to them, I want to do the Ed Sullivan Show in Canada with only Canadian talent. I want to wear a tuxedo. I want to introduce all the acts. That's all I want to do.
Right.
And that they didn't want that. They wanted way more than that. They wanted a talk show, a comedy show, a variety show. And I said, just let me introduce the acts. I just, what only thing that mattered to me was that they were Canadian.
Right.
Right. To me, I just felt like I'm an immigrant. I'd grown up in this country since I was a little boy.
Right.
And
from where?
Morocco.
Wow.
And I said, you know, I think we're ready. I think we don't have to wait for somebody from here to go to the States. And then they must be somebody because they went down there.
Well, it's always
but
been the way,
in
right?
the end, it was really not the best idea.
Your show? You mean?
Yeah, my show.
Wow.
That show. I did lots of other shows, and I couldn't have been more grateful for all the opportunities, honestly.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful broadcast career.
Right.
Loved it. But that show, I thought we were ready to do a high-status show about being Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't really understand about the country at the time, even though I thought I did, was that really the country was much more comfortable with a low-status presentation of what it is, more humble, more self-effacing, more sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
somebody runs over your toe with their car and you go, sorry, right?
Because right.
that's really, and I think that's a lovely thing about us.
Sure.
I don't think, why can't we be, you know, because I'm not much on the sort of hand over the heart, jingoistic, you know, ultra national view of things. And
right.
Canadians still can't quite remember the second verse of O Canada and take a little peek up at the screen to make sure they don't screw it up. And I think that's great.
Right.
But that show wasn't that. That show was supposed to be this enormous cruise liner coming into port.
Yeah.
Unable to turn in any kind of pivotal
what year
way.
Would that have been?
92, 93, I think.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, we did a year and a half of shows.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fun.
Right, really?
No, it really wasn't.
Yeah, for me either, it's been a decade and a half of
torture and misery.
It has. It's been
okay,
regrettable.
But I
so
stopped
we share
doing
that.
It at that point and went back to Current Affairs.
Right.
I don't know what you're doing.
No, I know.
But I don't
me
think
either.
It's good for your mental health.
No,
I'm just
it's not.
You now.
Trust me. We can get into that.
I think we're into it now, is what I think.
Before that,
yeah,
though, before
oh,
we get
right.
into all the problems that I have because of you.
So you saw me do this show and you thought, we can do this here.
And I'm being
now,
sincere.
Now, for that, it's worth the whole, and I'm not being, gratuitous. It is worth the whole thing when somebody sees something like that in this country and says, permission granted.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do whatever the hell you want to do.
Right.
Right? Because to me, that's the important piece. It wasn't, aren't we just unbelievable? It was, guys, we really don't have to wait for permission from these other people to do stuff. We can just do stuff.
Right.
It'll be our way. Like, if you've ever seen a week of Canadian film at a film festival, and they used to have these, and I guess they still do at the film festival in Toronto, but no one's allowed to go.
it was a heyday for me. That's where I got to meet all these celebs and
right,
stuff.
Right. So when you would watch a whole week of the Canadian retrospective there, wow, are we weird. I mean, we are serious. We make the Finns look happy-go-lucky. We are a weird people.
Right.
Dark and inverted, tortured, non-rational. I mean, it's just, right? Blood. And we're crazy people.
Like, right.
You know, Guy
really?
Madden, Adam McGoyan.
Yeah.
You know, the entire oeuvre of French work. I mean, it is insanely introspective stuff. And part of it, I think, is because we're a winter people.
Okay.
We spend half our year, like when you come out in the spring and see someone in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like they have a new baby.
Right.
Where'd that come from? Were you pregnant?
Yeah.
Holy crap. So we're really that kind of people.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I can see that.
So why not just enjoy it?
We're not all introspective. I'm about the dumbest guy you'll ever meet.
You see, anyone who says they're dumb isn't dumb.
Sure.
A dumb person would be too dumb to know they're dumb.
Okay, I'm just dumb. I'm just being smart enough to know that I'm dumb.
You're preemptive. I'll call myself dumb, and then they won't say I'm dumb because I've already done it for them. And yet, don't think I'm really that dumb. I think I'm kind of clever.
No, I don't.
Oh my God. If I look up disingenuous in the dictionary, there's your picture, my friend.
There's no pictures of me on the internet at all. Well, there's a few. But they're all with famous people. The only reason I'm on the internet is because I'm standing beside Matt Damon. Oh, the internet. I hate the internet. We'll get into that in a minute, too, because I'd love to hear your thoughts on how media has changed and the internet and YouTube. I took some grief from Dane Cook, if you are demanding me to name more famous people that I know and have met. You're not impressed at all by any of
it. What?
Well, because it's not important.
Why you wanted to do a talk show, so you could meet famous people.
Yeah, that's it. No. Actually,
come on.
No, the least interesting people I know,
yes,
or entertaining people I know are the famous people.
Really?
My show, my show had any success, and it must have had some success because it managed
to... Look at us now.
Yeah. Podcasting, whatever that is, on the internet.
Fourth floor of a building that has no fourth floor, yeah, with bricks and
it's
windows.
It's like a clock tower. It's like...
it is. Like, I'm expecting you to just, right, hunchback it at any moment now.
But if the show had any redeemable
qualities...
No
offense to people with those kinds of physical abnormalities, but yeah, carry on.
I don't mind that.
You don't.
I'll take the blame for it
you.
If somebody, yeah, says bad things about us saying that.
Thank you.
But it was my success was.
What if you become a Secret Service agent?
What if I
you
already?
You know the kind of guy walks around saying,
"You
take a bullet for famous people."
I would.
You see?
You know what I've often thought? I've often thought, like, when I used to do all the red carpet stuff,
yes,
at TIFF. You talked about TIFF. Yeah, but
don't
I had a blast.
You want to take
it.
A shower after that?
Oh, like I was. It was the most. Amazing experience for me ever.
Really?
Listen to this.
Okay.
If you ever, the most hated I've ever been, ever. Like, palpable, is that the word? It's,
yes,
palpable. Of despise and seething anger towards me,
yes,
not just on the internet or other places, but right in front of me, right, was on the red carpets of TIFF. Because what happened was, I had some early success doing these wacky, goofy, correspondent things on the red carpet. And it really started with the Brad Pitt interview where he walked the entire line. And then he stopped for, BBC or something like that, somebody important, somebody else. And then I stopped him I had this goofy jacket on and I stopped him.
He broke protocol.
And then we engaged for like this pretty long interview. It got on Entertainment Tonight. It got all kinds of buzz because we talked about nothing but wacky, dumb stuff.
Right.
And he went on and they kind of helped me make my mark a little bit on these red carpets. But what happened was everybody else, the other 100 people, 150 people, because it's grown so much, all knew me as the guy who would only ask like dumb questions, waste everybody's time. It really was their petty jealousy because they didn't have any skill or ability to stop any of these stars in their tracks or do anything interesting to make them want to talk to them. And I did. And they hated me for it. Like literally would boo at me when I would walk in the red carpet, tell everybody.
Because you weren't playing the game.
Right, and they hated me. They would sit there right in front of me and say, oh, that guy there, oh, you're beside that J.R. Diggs
guy. Did you
ever
do junket interviews?
A what?
Junket interviews.
I did lots of junk interviews, yeah.
No, junket.
Oh, because I've done plenty of junk interviews.
Very nice man I'm talking to. No, junkets, where you go to a hotel.
I've done that.
And that's time. When you go to a hotel and they tell you who you can interview from the movie.
Yeah.
And they own the cameras and the tape.
No.
Okay, so I have to tell you about this because it is horrific.
Yeah.
But interesting. So you...
Horrific stuff always is.
At the time I worked with the CBC, obviously, so we paid our own way. But a lot of outlets, they had their way paid. But then you get to the hotel, and it's usually a very nice hotel in quite a city. And then the night of, they screen the movie for you and all the entertainment reporters.
Right.
And the reporters I use lightly at this point. And we're all in there watching this movie. You know, it's an interesting thing when a movie hasn't been released yet. I was talking to a friend about this. It's really difficult for you to get your own bearings as to whether you've seen a good or bad movie. Because there is, you realize how much you rely, whether you think it or not, on the kind of marketing and buzz and word and that goes around a movie before you go to see it. But when there has been none yet, you are going to be the buzz. You sort of get lost in, I'm not sure, is that a good movie? I think it's a good movie, Fatal Attraction. That was really weird what I just saw. Is that going to be a hit? And I remember seeing
scared lots
the
of dudes
stars
cheating on their wives.
Yeah, I remember seeing the stars and the director seeing each other in front of the hotel doors before they go in, Michael Douglas and Glenn Close. And the level of happiness they had made me think, these folks all know this business. Michael Douglas knows it backwards. They seem very confident. I guess it's going to be a hit. But I didn't know what I thought of it. Yeah. But anyway, you see the movie, and then you go into interview. You sit in this holding pen. They stuff you with goodies and toys and food all the way through this.
Oh, I would eat all that.
Now, the next morning, you have to have your bags packed, because as soon as you're finished, you're out of there.
Right.
So you then are told who you're going to interview, and you have no say. If they say that the producer wants to be interviewed, you're interviewing the producer.
Right.
Whether you ever use them on tape or not, they're going to be interviewed.
Right.
You get, at the time, 5 minutes with each person.
Sure.
So at one point, they even, and then if you do anything in those interviews that they don't want, they don't give you your tapes.
Right.
So you can't actually say, as David Gilmour once said to Michael Moore after Canadian Bacon, which made it actually onto camera, which was, has it ever occurred to you that you've made a bad film here? And Moore was all over him. And David is one of my heroes, because he took Entertainment Reporting and said, you people can't be serious. You have no credibility. You're just promotional vehicles for these people. That's all you're doing is selling their crap.
Right.
And David would actually say, I don't think the movie's very good.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, who let this guy in here? I thought we were all in on the game. So he was a lovely person to emulate when you were doing your work. But at one point they finally said, I was about to go and do an interview with John Travolta. And they said, somebody, my producer from in at the building, I was at home at the time, said, because I was going to meet them there, said, it's 3 minutes.
Right.
They're going to give you 3 minutes.
Right.
And I said, are you serious? And he said, yeah, 3 minutes. So I sat down with the research and I looked it over. And I put together a 3-minute interview. And it was for a horrible film called The General's Daughter. Mm-hmm. And even Travolta, you could tell, knew, please God, do we have to talk about this movie?
Yeah.
Let's get this over with.
Yeah.
So I sat down and I said, just a few questions for you. I know we don't have much time. Can you tell me what it's like to fly into Vancouver Airport? Because I knew he was a pilot.
Sure.
And I knew he'd done 2 films in BC that year. And he just lit up. He was like, wow.
Yeah.
Now that is a fantastic runway.
Right.
You come in off the water and it is just gorgeous. And I said, and tell me, why do you buzz Kirstie Alley's house? Because I'd read in the research that they were neighbors and that he used to barnstorm her house. And he went, well, one, because I'd love to do it. Two, because she asked me to do it. And everybody in her family runs out in the balcony and watches me do it. And then I said, what's an assist? Because I knew that they were both Scientologists. And one of the things in Scientology is an assist, where it's like a laying of hands without actually touching someone. It's a healing method for Scientologists.
What about when you touch someone?
So he said,
and you're laying hands.
Well, then you blew it.
That's a hat trick in my family.
So he says, right away, instead of me going, why are you a Scientologist? I've asked him about something in Scientology. And he goes, you mean like in Scientology? I say, yeah. He goes, well, and then he explains all that. And then I had one question left, and the little God lover, the PR woman, is just below the shot.
I hate those people.
Spinning her hand, like, shut up and get it over.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
I said,
well,
what effect does having millions of dollars had, what effect has having millions of dollars had on your ability to form friendships? And he looks at me and he goes, well, that is a question. But let me tell you the good news. The people who love you, have always loved you, are always there when it's over. Other people have knifed me in the back, and that's just been that. And he went into this whole thing, and the woman was trying to wrap him up, and he would have none of it.
Right.
He was just, I want to do it. And I thought, okay, so they've given us the discipline of the 3-minute interview.
Right.
And the thing that in broadcasting that's mattered to me the most has not, When I teach broadcast to people, I say three things to them. I say, first of all, it's not healthy what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're asking strangers to love you, remember your name, and care about you after today.
That's what I do.
That's not, that's comes from a non-strength place.
Yes, I'm weak.
Now,
I'm
the weak bad man. News, that's the bad news. The good news is you have the skill set to actually pull this off and have people pay attention.
Right.
The response, the question is, now that I have your attention, what do I want to do with it?
That's I talked about peanut butter and jam sandwiches with Brad Pitt. That's what I did.
Right, but you really wanted everyone to know that you knew Brad Pitt.
No, I mean, yes.
No.
But
can I just hear no?
No, that's not.
So, to me, interviewing is the point of all of it.
Yeah.
The rest of it is what you have to go through.
Yeah.
But the conversation and the ability to hold that space. So one of the things I do now is I'm a spiritual director. And in spiritual direction, you listen. You listen to
me. I've been listening to you for at least
half hour. Well, I know it's been hard for you.
Oh,
because you were just waiting for the peanut butter and jam joke.
No,
I know it's killing you.
I'm listening to everything you say. It's fun not to talk for a little bit on this podcast.
You know, it's always comforting when the interviewer says, I'm listening to everything you say. Thank God for that.
But you know what I was going to interject with?
Yes, okay, sorry.
And I didn't. Yeah. It is fun, though, when you strike a nerve, though. Maybe we can, like, with somebody or celebrity or something like those. It's a great challenge, isn't it, to do what you did?
Well, I know.
Yes, it is.
It's not a nerve thing. I'm not trying to strike a nerve with people.
Well, maybe that
said
that.
To me, it's
wrong.
I'd say
things wrong.
Can we be present together?
Yeah, but that's your...
And drop the bullshit.
That's your new age. Yeah, see there.
New age.
Your new age concept. Back in the day, Ben Mergie would have just been like...
No.
Yeah, I was...
Actually, no.
You've always been like this?
Went back and looked at my
insightful...
Interviews.
And smart? Were you always smart?
I think he's getting nasty.
No, is that nasty?
Who would answer yes to have you always been insightful and smart?
Well,
except
I would if I were.
A donkey of a human being. Of course, I've always been insightful and smart.
Do you think you're smarter now than you...
I don't think about myself as smart.
I know, but you have to now because you're on a podcast and I'm asking you to think about it.
So I'm saying I wouldn't use words like, I think I'm smarter now.
Why is that inappropriately said?
No, because to me, I think, have you been paying attention to your life? That would be my question.
But that's just a fancier way of saying what I said.
No, it isn't, because smart is up here.
Yeah.
In your head.
Yeah.
Paying
what about street smarts?
Paying attention to your life is your head and your heart connected.
Oh, yeah, but that just ends up in... A pile of regret.
And nothing but trouble.
Yeah.
Why? Are you afraid that if your heart is engaged that you'll just be too hurt by the process?
Oh, I know it for a fact.
No, you don't.
Sure, I do.
No, I said, are you afraid?
Oh, I'm too dumb to be afraid.
Hey, you're playing a little bit of the dodgeball with old Ralphie, aren't you? Yeah. Come sit on my knee. Let's watch this program together. Sit with the old man.
We should have brought a repeat of your show.
Clearly.
And then done that. You know what I was going to say about the interviews, though, or when you get, when I said you strike a nerve and then you corrected me and you said that's not the way to say it.
Well, I thought my point. I'm not trying to strike nerves.
Yeah, I am. You're not.
Right.
But that's why you seem happy and successful and well-adjusted now. You seem that way.
Well, thank God that worked.
You're wearing a nice shirt. shirt.
You know, most days here I'm wearing a t-shirt or a sweater.
I like sweaters. I used to love sweaters.
I'm a Value Village guy.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm worried about
Village.
The cooties.
This shirt's from Value Village.
Really?
Yes, I live in Value Village.
I don't think I would do that.
What, go to Value Village?
Not for my shirts.
Why, too close to your body?
I don't know. I don't. No.
Do you get pants at Value Village?
No.
What do you get at Value Village?
Just funny stuff, goofy stuff.
Oh, you mean like chachkas?
What's a chachka?
A chachka, a little novel piece of ornamentation that you stick in your house.
No
chachkas. On your fireplace.
No, I only get chachkas at garage sales.
Do you know what a grudgeki is?
Grudgeki?
Grudgeki.
No.
Yes. If you lived in Edmonton, what is a grudgeki?
Is it a donut?
It's a key to open your garage.
There's a key. They have keys?
Called grudgeki.
It is not.
It's a Ukrainian joke, my friend.
Don't tell jokes with me.
Wow.
I don't understand these smart things.
What is this joke you speak of? Are you a Star Trek fan?
Sure.
I'm a big Star Trek fan.
Yeah, me too.
Huge.
Yeah.
Like, inordinate, and my family worries about me.
Why?
Well, because they can't relate. They watch the show and go, what on earth is it about this that makes you want to watch another one?
New generation or the original?
Well, I love the original because I think I watched every rerun in college that there probably was of their shows.
Right.
And I...
Did you ever watch T.J. Hooker? Not T.J. No. Hooker. B.J. Hooker?
What was his T.J. Hooker.
T.J. Hooker.
I don't think they'd call the show B.J. Hooker.
Is the
call
pilot.
Me Kook.
That's the pilot I'm pitching from my van.
So, there's a couple of cops. One's a male, one's a female. You know, no. So, no.
B.J. No. Hooker. No. Starring J.R. Diggs and Ralph Ben Mergy.
Yeah, no. No.
We could get you, me, Mike Bullard. Who else had a late night show in this country?
I think you pretty well run the gamut.
I had a funny, weird experience with Mike Bullard,
too. Is there anyone else who's done it?
No. I mean, Ed the Sock's show was kind of late night and talky.
Steve Kirshner. That's Ed the Sock.
I like Steve
Kirshner.
Steve's
a very bright guy. I like Steve a lot.
Absolutely. Who else would have? Anybody else?
Very nuanced political thinker, Mr. Kirshner.
Yeah, he's too smart for me. I don't hang out with him anymore.
What is with this hope-de-do-dumb thing?
No, because I have nothing to say. Nothing to add to that conversation.
So what do you think of people who you think, they're very smart? Do you think they're full of crap? Or
no, they probably just, I don't know, I just don't hang out with them.
Like, are you anti-intellectual?
Yes.
Ooh, why?
Because I don't understand what they're saying.
So what? Why didn't you try to figure it out?
That's why I moved to Hamilton.
Wow! Okay, I've moved to Hamilton, and I strongly disagree.
I know, but all you fancy folks are ruining this town we love and adore.
Yeah, except the second part of the conversation about 10 years ago in the hellhole.
I love that hellhole.
Oh, sure you do.
It was Hamilton.
No.
Yeah.
And now you think it's ruined by three Torontonians?
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake, don't be so parochial.
No, because they're so proud to be from Hamilton, and they've been here for 6 months, and they act like they love it so much and everything.
Can't we fall in love with the place?
Oh,
are we
God,
not
in
allowed?
6 months? How many girls have you fallen in love with in 6 months, and how does that end?
A couple.
8 months
married
later.
Married to one of them.
How long have you been married?
This time?
Oh.
15
Let's
years.
Get into it a little
15
bit.
15 years.
So 15 years you've been with this wife.
Right. My first wife, 20 years.
And
I'm
what
not
happened?
A piker. I'm not messing around here.
What happened to I'm that? You're a piker?
No, I'm not a piker.
What is a piker?
A piker is somebody who lasts.
If you're going to use big words, I'm going to ask
somebody
who
lasts 8 months and then drop the marriage. And,
oh, yeah, that's a piker?
Yeah, that's kind of a person who's visiting their life.
Right. That's good. Maybe that's the way it should be.
Why?
I don't know. I've had a couple long-term relationships.
How long have you been married?
No, I'm not.
How long? Were you ever married?
No.
Never?
No.
How long is your longest relationship?
I have two really long,
how long?
Relationships. Long time. Like, God, you're asking me to do the math here, but couple 12-year, 14-year relationship.
Wow, okay.
Two serious
Those
long
are marriages.
My whole life.
Those are marriages.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you like that being with someone all the time, or do you... Sort of
yeah, because I've been single for like a little bit now, and I don't like it.
You don't like it.
And I tried a couple like one-night stands, and I really didn't like it. You ever had a one-night stand?
In my life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you
Who
mean,
hasn't
maybe?
Had a one-night stand in their life?
Well, lots of people. Some
really?
Like, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, up until recently.
Really?
Never.
All in or nothing? Are you an all in or nothing?
Yeah, I'm a nothing.
Oy. I got to start taking you to synagogue.
So, but no, I've had two long-term relationships.
Right.
And then a couple, I tried my luck at like...
Did you try online dating?
I did that once.
See, I've never done that because that's...
I had one date.
On an online date? How was it?
It was great. No, we're still friends. I think I might bring her on the podcast.
Excellent. You should.
Yeah. And because... It doesn't matter. We don't have time to talk about why
it didn't
we didn't
out.
End up together. But
but you're not a commitment phobe. But you
no,
had
I love
long-term
commitment.
Relations.
Well, it depends on who you ask. I'm sure there's
no 12 and 14 years. Clearly, you.
It's good. Yeah,
didn't bail after a week and a half. You.
Yeah, and then I just messed those two up.
And no kids.
No, dude, all these are big, lots of...
I have four
this
kids.
This is a big pile of pot of regret we could dive into
really?
Right now if you really wanted to.
What is this regret?
Well, no, I deeply regret those things. Not having kids, I regret. not those two relationships not working out, I regret.
You regret not having a big TV show right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, not really. I hated the last 10 years of doing my show. It was not fun. It was not fun at all. And it was not enjoyable, and it wasn't the show I wanted to make. You speak of the show that you didn't want to make.
It's interesting when you, sometimes when you get what you think you want,
it's almost never what you think it is. But I never really got what I wanted. You see, this was
even if you'd gotten it, I'm going to say, guess that the goalposts would have moved.
No.
You would, no.
No.
I have gotten things where I thought, oh, come on, this is it. You've made it. And I think they were the most unsatisfactory parts of my life.
I would have loved to take my chances at that one.
Well, everyone says that. And then when they're there, they think, this is no fun.
Yeah, but my show was being compared for over a decade to, Conan at the time. In the early years, it was on before Craig, being compared to like Conan and Craig Kilborn, and killing them in ratings. Like, actually, I ended up having success. And I don't want to waste all our time here talking about my career, because I would rather talk about yours. And if you really wanted to, listen to the podcast, fourth podcast, I think I did. And I got into this because I didn't have a guest. So I just talked to myself here about this career.
Okay.
But I never got the opportunity that I'll be so bold as to say that I deserved. Whereas a guy like Strombo, we left him out of the list.
That's, well, yes.
He's the most successful one of the bunch.
And a fine human being.
He's okay.
I think he's a fine human
being. I know. I always say that too publicly.
I think he's
we're friends.
You're compromising my statement. I think he's a fine human being, not publicly. I would say it.
This is publicly because I'm putting this on
I'm
the internet.
No, but privately, I would say it.
Yeah.
He's a fine human being.
So, but.
And I feel bad for George about what happened.
Oh, you
in
feel
hockey.
Bad for George? Yeah. Now we're going to. I'm like, are you kidding
okay,
me?
Okay, let me tell you
he's
why.
He's the golden spoon of Canadian television.
So, no, that's your own resentment coming through. So here's, I'll tell
it
you
is.
Why.
Jealousy and envy.
Jealousy. Resentment is the drink of poison that you yourself imbibe, hoping to kill the other person. I will fill myself.
I don't want to kill George. He's a nice guy.
Resentment,
but I resent his opportunities.
Don't resent things.
I do.
Okay, well, let me tell you.
I'm being truthful.
I know. Resentment is a poison we drink hoping to kill the other person. That's all I'm telling you. It will never actually do anything for you that's good.
No,
so there's no reason to continue to drink from the cup going, one more swig, I swear that's all I want. One more taste of the bitter fruit. You know, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Well, but it
like nowhere.
I don't want to go anywhere. I'm stuck here.
I'm here on the fourth floor of a building that doesn't have a fourth floor.
If I wanted to go somewhere, I'd get it back in the van.
It kills me. There's still one more ladder up there. So
I've been up there.
I'm sure
it's
you have, and probably threatening people with what you're going to do.
Screaming, when you hear somebody screaming out your name from somewhere
from
the top
bell tower,
that'll be me. Brett Murgy.
Yeah.
George is a
so let me tell you
devil.
What the George thing. Let me just say.
Him and I kind of started together.
So George gets Hockey Night in Canada. Big, big gig. Major.
He got everything. He got nine different shows, reincarnations of shows.
Let me finish.
I know, but I...
Let me finish.
I'm gonna.
I don't think so.
I will, because you're staring at me with that. I'm the one
who... You're still talking.
Okay.
Thank you.
But...
Wow. Deep breath, my friend. Deep breath. Let it out.
Okay, go ahead.
There you go. So he gets the big gig. He gets the biggest gig in the country, Hockey Night in Canada. It's way beyond entertainment. It is a religion. He gets it. He's not from that world. He's never taken an elbow from Nick Kyprios. He's not that guy. The Leafs tank completely.
Yeah.
Not one Canadian team makes the playoffs.
Right.
Rogers overshoots the runway in how it's presenting and puts it on the broad. There wasn't a channel on earth that didn't have a hockey game on. Dilutes their market, dilutes their product.
Mm-hmm.
George is sitting there with an earring and a motorcycle hanging out.
And shirts that are
hipsters,
too tight.
Hanging out with a bunch of guys who grew up jocks, are jocks, will always be jocks.
Yeah.
And in the worst possible year for TV ratings you could get in hockey, they throw him off under the bus.
Under the bus.
And
he
go
didn't
to
get
Ron.
Thrown out under the bus
sure
in his whole
and
life.
And then they
I
go
like
to Ron.
George.
Now you're interrupting.
Okay.
And then they go to
but
Ron
you're getting me
and
riled.
Go get Ron, come back and do the exact same small town Alberta shtick that you've been doing your whole life. And I love Ron. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But they went right back to the safe bet that's going to work, guaranteed. Very good at what he does.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's a good show.
Great show for a certain kind of thing. They were trying to say, what if we need a new audience? They realized that it wasn't going to work, not because George couldn't do it, but because the timing is everything, right? When you talk about innovation, they say, what are the four things you need to do for innovation? And everybody thinks it's the money,
yeah,
or the business plan, or the idea.
That's three things.
It's not. It's
you only
the
said
timing.
Three things. Five, four things.
It's the timing.
Yeah.
So would there be an Airbnb or an Uber if there hadn't been 2008? No. Because 2008 was the beginning of the deeply precarious economy where nobody is sure they're going to work. And now you'll let strangers into your house and charge them rent. Now you'll drive around in a car picking up people you've never met in your
entire life. I could do both those things in my van.
So there you go. So there's timing. It's not that it was the most brilliant idea. It was time for the
idea. So we're supposed
to
feel sorry
for George.
So it wasn't time for George?
Well, you don't clearly feel sorry for
him
because you wished you'd had his job.
Yes. Oh, I wish I had one of the nine opportunities he had.
Well, too bad.
I know.
George did a good job of getting
those
jobs. He
did. I'm not saying he didn't.
So why would you resent him?
Because
his life is not the one you were supposed to have. My life is not the one you were supposed to have. Your life is the one you're supposed to have.
I'm supposed to have this life?
Yes.
Oh, bullshit.
No. Oh, wow.
It's kind of a family word.
No, no. I don't mean that you swore.
Oh.
That you're outraged that you're supposed to have your life. That's amazing.
I don't think I was supposed to have this life. That's why off the top of the podcast, I blamed you for what I ended up with.
Clearly, you and I need to be on a spiritual direction path. Because
no, I'm never
anyone who
I'm
says
never
my
your
life is not
again.
My life and should not be my life, I've been robbed of my life, is a narrative you do not want to pass through this world with. You
yes,
don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
Oh, I embrace it lovingly.
No, you don't.
I do.
How can you embrace the toxicity of what you just said? I don't want to be me.
Because it's just the...
Me isn't good enough. This isn't the me I was looking for.
That's it. That's well put.
Wow.
I'm going to write that down. This isn't the me. I'm going to call this podcast, "This is not the me I was looking for."
Put it on the front of the door here, this little...
I like the way that sounds, because that's...
You
I
do.
Feel like that, sure.
You do.
This is absolutely not the me I was looking for.
Well, there lies nothing but unhappiness.
You got it.
Okay,
hi.
Well.
Well, hi. I'm JR.
Great to
I'm
be
glad
here.
We finally met.
Wow. I think this is... I think that's tragic.
Well, you think everyone's happy and everyone got the life they expected?
I say that your life, ownership of your life as it is in this moment, is essential to committing to living your life and doing your life as it is, not as it should have been. Or as Al Franken, before he was a senator and was on Saturday Night Live and was doing, "Hi there, it's time for your daily affirmation." Said, "Nope, there you go. Shouldn't all over yourself again." And you keep thinking you should have. I should have been a contender. You're
no, wait a minute.
You're on the waterfront and you're Marlon Brando in the backseat. I could have been a contender.
No, wait a minute, because I resent people
Thank
who
God.
Think that no, okay, let me at least clarify this.
All right.
I worked really, really hard for everything that I've gotten in life.
Granted.
And I don't think I've never expected anything.
Right.
I don't think I deserve like anything or just anything should be given to me.
Right.
I think that anything that I was ever going to get in this life is going to be on my own, you know, blood, sweat, and commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as the case may be, tears, lots of tears, of sadness and regret. But
bitter recrimination.
Yeah, but I never thought, oh, I should have had a bigger show. People say to me,
no, keep going.
People say to me, "I can't believe that you didn't have like a bigger show, or you didn't have."
Okay, I don't care what they say.
Well, it means to me because I go, well, you know, just with
but you
global
told me
the network
this is
I was
not
on.
The life you should have had.
Right, because. How do I put this? You're twisting my words or my mind. I want to make sure that I articulate these thoughts the right way.
Right.
I wish that I would have had just even the tiniest bit of luck or the mind, the puniest little opportunity to prove myself. And people think I did because I had a show. But it was always me. Most my show was almost entirely produced with a couple volunteers who were working for pizza coupons. And even though the show was national, it was that was another whole story of even how I got it national and global. And never had any writers, never. One of the biggest, most successful show on in American television right now is Nathan Fielder's Nathan For You. Okay, well, if you know Nathan Fielder or not. But he's got a big show on Comedy Central. The first time ever on television, Nathan's first time ever on television, was on my little goofy little late night show.
But you just said you never have any...
Listen to me.
...puny little...
But I couldn't...
...opportunity.
I couldn't...
And you've had lots of opportunities.
I didn't.
You've had shows, you've had guests, you've had red carpets, you've had all kinds of things.
And that was just enough to almost get me...
Okay, but
the
you had these opportunities. You keep thinking there was another opportunity you didn't get.
I
but
didn't get to.
You've had lots of opportunities.
So if you think if you go through
you've
life.
You've had two good long relationships. You've had lots of good
Yeah,
things.
But what are good did that get me? Look at me now. Lonely and thinking about online dating again because since you said that.
So what are you grateful for?
My family.
Okay, what else?
Some good friends.
What else?
My van's always been reliable.
Right.
I won a couple trophies for baseball when I was young.
So, but you're grateful for the recognition. You're grateful for the relationships.
Yeah.
You're grateful for what else?
My hair.
That you still have hair and you're not bald?
No, it's the best hair on...
On Earth.
No, but on ever on Canadian television,
the
including yours. I will say that proudly.
That was something I never really had a goal about.
I did. I used to always say I have the best hair on Canadian late night television. Now it's the best hair in Canadian podcasting.
Right. So you that's your gut line. The best hair in Canadian
podcasting. Will you concede that I had better hair than you?
Hey, I have no stake in the game. God love you.
No, but will you concede that?
Sure.
Okay, so there's one late night talk show host that acknowledges
that you had better hair.
Yeah, on television than you, right?
Sure.
When you're on TV.
You know why I'm saying sure?
Why?
Because you need to believe
it. No, just tell the truth. Do you think you possibly could have had better hair than me?
In my life, I've never once woken up and thought this question out.
I know. We'll figure it out now.
No, I don't think so. I think I'll just keep moving through my life thinking that really wasn't a question worth answering.
Really?
Truly.
That sounds condescending.
It would be condescending if I'd said, your personality lacks and I could care less.
Do you think that?
But it's your hair you're asking me about.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you asked me what I'm grateful for and proud of. I'm proud of my hair.
Okay.
And grateful.
And you're proud of your family.
Yes.
That you have a loving relationship.
Yes.
And you're proud of, are you proud of the fact that you have done interesting things and met interesting people?
Not really.
No?
No.
You put a lot of effort into it.
Everything I had for 15 years. Essentially sacrificed an entire relationship that I now regret I don't have anymore.
By the way, you owe me $150 for this session. I'm just telling you now.
Yeah, we should bring you on regularly to just give me therapy.
Clearly.
The only person I would take therapy from is another late night talk show host. It's the only person I would actually respect.
Maybe I should go into that coaching business.
Yeah.
Recovering late night talk show hosts.
I have a weed coach. A marijuana coach.
A weed coach?
Yeah, a weed coach.
Teaches you how to smoke dope?
Yeah, teaches me how to smoke dope.
How often?
Everything I need to know.
Do you smoke dope every day?
No, I never smoke dope. I don't do drugs.
You don't do them. So why is the weed coach in your life exactly?
Because I met her, and one day we were talking about everybody smokes weed now, or a lot of people mm-hmm. do, and I was saying that, you know, it's silly and I'm impervious to weed.
Right.
And she's there all like, you can't be impervious. I said, yes, I am. I'm impervious to drugs. It's my super talent.
Right.
And if the world...
Superpower.
Yeah. You know, they always say, what's your superpower? Well, right. If everybody was stoned, I'd be like... I'd rule the world because I would smoke as much weed but not be
no one
high.
Would know you were the only straight guy
that's
in the
it.
Room.
So that's but she said, you're doing it wrong. And I said, well, probably maybe, but I doubt it. How do you do it wrong? And I showed and she's like, well, I go, nothing's happening. And then she decided she wanted to become my weed coach. She calls herself my weed shaman.
Shaman.
Shaman. I was getting, it's a hard word for me.
Shaman?
Shaman.
There.
Yeah. What's the shawarma? Shawarma's a, you eat. I always get confused. So she
so
teaches
shawarmas
me.
Shawarmas you eat.
She actually, I've had.
Shamans you listen to.
And smoke weed with.
Clearly in this case.
And we've done it a couple times now.
And how did you get stoned?
Yeah, super. Can I say, can I swear again to you?
Yeah.
Super fucked up.
Really? So she was right.
You've I think
so. You're doing it wrong. Now, does it make you want to do it more?
We're continuing the lessons. I'll bring her in next week
you're
to talk
going
about
for
it.
Your bronze medallions soon.
I don't know if you get medals for it or not, but I certainly
I
got high.
I think you could.
Yes. You think I'm shallow, empty
no,
person?
No, I don't understand.
Do you think I'm like a you, no? But I see. I get
no,
a sense
I think
you're
a very interesting person.
Because I want your
I
respect.
I feel sad for your regrets.
Do you really?
Yes, because I don't. I can't.
You
say,
feel sad.
Yes.
Oh God, I don't feel sad for you. You feel sad for Strombo too. You're a lot of empathy for people.
Well, you you're, say that no, like it's an insult. I'm not quite clear where we're going here.
Well, if you
what
feel
kind of an empathic person are you?
If you feel bad
feeling
for Strombo, schmuck. Like the guy, like and I like George, and when I see him next,
you know what? I think that there's
we'll
I, what
and
I don't
stuff.
Understand is you seem to believe
oh, God.
That fame.
Yeah, here we go.
Is in some way...
value?
Yes, of great value.
It is in the world we live.
No, it isn't.
You want to know how many Twitter
you know
followers...
Who gives a crap?
I care.
Well, then you've got a problem with what you
no
care about.
No one follows
about.
Me on social media.
Who
they ignore
cares?
Me. I care. I continue to
okay,
post
now,
every
I'll
fucking day, and no
question.
One likes me.
I'll ask the simple question.
No one likes, and they're good posts.
When you're finished,
yeah, I know.
I'll ask the simple question.
Fight for your mic.
No.
Are you having fun?
Sure.
No, but sure is a way of saying, like, not really, Ralph. You're talking
you
to
see,
another...
I did that to have fun.
Okay.
All right. And you went right for it as if it was just a...
No, I'm not smart.
A piece of mackerel
yes.
at the end of a hook.
I don't like mackerel. If I thought you were going to say macaroni. I like macaroni.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
You don't like macaroni? Are you such an elitist
love
that you don't like macaroni?
My kids say macaroni and cheese. My wife says, we really shouldn't be eating that. And I'm in the corner going...
See, you have kids and a second wife.
I have four children.
No wonder you're so happy and you go around with all this empathy for people. You basically got the life you wanted, see?
No, no.
That's why you can sit in judgment of me.
You misunderstand.
Okay.
There's all kinds of things within my life where I'm regretful for how I've been or how it's turned out for things.
Yeah.
And that, at the same time, I try to remember to be grateful regularly for, so...
I did that a lot too.
Not to get too far into the spiritual direction thing, but one of the practice, I'm a Jew.
Okay.
And one of the practices of...
I'm not.
Clearly. And one of the...
What does that mean, clearly?
All right.
Kirzner's Jewish.
Deeply.
Strombo's not.
No, he's not. He's probably Greek Orthodox, is my guess.
Oh, shit. What he is successful and happy and laughing at me now, mocking me.
Well, you know, we do have a small group of us who get together... And we do have a little picture of you that we put in the center of the circle. And we just look at it and go...
Tell Bullard to go fuck himself if he's in that group.
Right, great.
Because there's a guy who... that's another whole story. It is another story.
Your jealousy is getting in your
That's
way.
Not jealousy. I'm not jealous of Mike Bullard. That's somebody I'm not jealous of.
Finally. Thank God.
Envious and frustrated.
What I was trying to say to you... is that there is a practice, a spiritual practice for people that
right.
when they wake up in the morning, the first thing they do is they show gratitude for the simple fact that they're alive.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because we take the actual belief that I know you're going to die, but I'm not. So Woody Allen's line is death. I get it. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
Right? So that's fine.
I think about it lately.
So, of course you do.
No, I really do. I'm being serious.
Of course we do.
I'm trying to figure out a way to...
So what you have to do is be grateful that you actually woke up and you're alive. That's
okay.
Number one. Number two, in our prayer service, there's actually a thing that says, thank you for keeping the parts of me open that should be open and the parts closed that should be closed. Literally, that's the terminology. So in other words, my body's functioning. Thank you. So gratitude starts becoming sort of cellular at that point. You are just grateful for the opportunity to be alive for another day and to try to be somebody decent in the world. That's all. But gratitude has to be cultivated. It can't be waited upon, and it can't be that you spend your life going, I didn't get the life I want. I'm not grateful for my life because this life sucks. This isn't the one I paid good money for this life. This life sucks.
Yeah.
This is not what sucks. What sucks is deciding that your life sucks. That's what sucks. Because
no, this life sucks.
No, it doesn't. Because you have friends. I see the way you connect with people.
That's an act.
No, it's not.
I'm good at that.
No, you aren't.
Half the people you see me being friendly to, I don't really
care
about.
I'm not talking the difference between being civil.
Okay.
I'm saying you reach out and desire deep connection with people. You're not a superficial person who's hoping that you can breeze through this. You really want to make connection with people.
It's fun.
Right. So that means you're a meaningful person trying to have a meaningful life. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in there to regret. And if things don't go in a you know, you just won yourself a brand new Chevy Nova way, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean you're not having a good life.
Yes,
it just
does.
Means that you're not having material and obvious markers that everyone else would think is a good life.
Yeah, all the happy
look at
people.
Everybody can
all the happy
know,
people.
All the people who you think are happy, who are just as unhappy, or I'm just as unhappy or happy as you are.
Oh, you're
everyone
unhappy
is.
Too.
Of course.
Yes.
Who isn't?
Let's talk about your regrets.
Why?
Because
I'm not feeding your beast.
Yes, feed the beast.
No, man.
Ralph, feed my beast. No, all these years
feed
later.
Feed your own beast, big fella.
No, maybe so.
It's called
go
masturbation.
Online and get my,
enjoy
get my,
it.
No. Oh, I got a good masturbation story I can tell you if you really want. No, I didn't masturbate for a long time.
We have 2 minutes left.
How long have we talked?
A long time. We have 2 minutes
I
left.
I could talk to you. I swear.
It's 150 in
I have sworn. No, I don't think I really even talked about all the things I wanted to talk to you about. And if it's been an hour, I don't want to have too long of a podcast. Could we do it again? A part two? Like not next week, but maybe in a year or two?
Sure.
No, but
how could I lose with that?
Really what I wanted to talk to you about is...
You have this question left.
Pardon?
You have one question left.
Oh, come on.
Grasshopper. This is our moment.
Okay.
All right.
What's the longest period of time where you didn't masturbate?
Today?
That's the longest. No, the longest duration of time.
There's supposed to be a drum hit there.
Oh.
Today,
don't joke with me. I'm tired of jokes.
Really?
Look what jokes have done to me. They've broke me.
You're in the fourth floor of a three-story building.
It's the clock tower.
You've made it.
I know.
You're at the top.
I'm pretty happy with my career. Like everything went good.
But you're at the
Ralph,
top, man.
But it could have just been so much better. And I could have been so much happier.
If it could have been, it would have been. It wasn't what was meant to be for you.
No, I was meant to, live this. That's why I'm just embracing my I've always been a very positive person, upbeat person.
Yes.
Encouraging person.
Yes.
Why, and I just don't like where that's got me.
Wow.
And I know some people.
You know, what if you
a
fell
couple
in love
people,
with
one
somebody?
In particular,
would you feel different if you fell in love with somebody?
Oh, I've done that before.
I know, but now, if you fell in love with somebody now, would it fill a void?
That's never going to happen again.
Wow, you are really...
It won't. No way.
You know...
I'm a shell
no
of the man I used to
if
be.
If you want to tell... If you
I'm
want
an
to
empty,
make,
emotional...
If you, want to make God, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. So... That's all to say.
If now I have to make God laugh?
Yes,
oh, my God. I thought
back,
it was just enough the guys on Barton Street thought I was funny for about a year.
If you look back
I'm going to make God laugh to make this all make sense?
If you look
come on,
back,
Ralph.
Wow. I'm going to try again. If you look back 3 years from today, and 3 years ago, you would have guessed this is where you'd be, sitting with me in this room, in the cotton factory.
I've always wanted to meet you.
Granted, but if 3 years ago I'd said to you, you were going to be doing this with me now, or someone had said that, you'd go, don't be an idiot, that's ridiculous. In other words, you have no idea what's coming. And the fake idea of control of your life, I will never fall in love again, I will never have anything I wanted. These are things that you're making unnecessary decisions about things you have no control over.
So I have control over that.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You had no control over the fact that we're sitting in this room.
Yes, I did. I asked you.
You did?
And I
did
begged you to
do
this.
Did you know I was
going to
go and start a space downstairs? And
yeah, but
working,
I tracked you,
and
I heard that you were here. I tracked you down.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, but I chose to ask you for the interview, and then you said
sure.
Yes.
But 3 years ago,
I'm choosing
ago,
never
said,
to fall in love.
If 3 years ago, if I said, go down to 270 Sherman, and you'll bump into Ralph Ben-Murgi, and you'll do a podcast together. 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You would have said, don't be a dork.
No, I would have thought that's true, because I was, no, because you're on my list of people I wanted to meet. And I wanted
and
to say the nice thing to
again. You are going to fall in love again. I'm ending on this.
No.
Yes, you are.
No.
Yes,
end
you
on,
are.
End on... We could get into that, I can tell
no,
you.
No, you are going to fall in love again.
No, Ralph. Tell me how long it's been since you masturbated, the longest amount of time. Longest duration. End on that, Ralph. End on a horrible...
I think you're going to end on that.
I went a long time one time, recently, and it ended in a bad experience with somebody. And it's crazy what happened. But it was embarrassing. Another regret in my
you know,
life.
You have compulsive disclosure disorder. You realize that.
Tell me the truth. Will you answer the question?
No. It's none of your bloody business.
It's embarrassing?
No, it's not your business.
It's please, I'm begging you.
God love you for begging me.
Don't bring God into this in our masturbation conversation.
No, why not?
Oh, that's a new secondary title to this podcast.
What is it?
Masturbation conversation.
No.
No? You like the
I'm
other
leaving,
one?
By the way.
Are you?
Yes, I'm
going to
get
are you
right
offended
now.
By my question?
No, I have to go.
I interviewed, you know, what's his name? Joaquin Phoenix once. And I kept asking him questions that he didn't want to answer. Okay. And his publicist got annoyed, so to circle this back a
yes.
little bit somehow. Mm. And then he could tell that I was just trying to... and I made it feel like his publicist was sticking up for him, because I guess I was a little bit clever about how I did these things, and I could tell that he was a guy who could handle his own. And I kind of inferred like, oh, I guess you can't answer any of these questions because your publicist is here, and you got to be that robotic guy in the red carpet and play the game. And I was just going to have some fun with you and ask you some different questions. But if we're not, so I said to him, so tell me, what was your favorite part of working with the director and the other actors in this movie? Like I said it in that sarcastic cliche way.
Yeah.
And he could tell, and he stopped him in his tracks because he realized I just turned him into like the same putz as all the other actors. And then he was like, you could see him click in his head. Because it was a bad movie, speaking of bad movies, and it was a bad movie he was in. And which one was it? He was a cop or something. And then he realized he should just be honest. And then he says, he leans in, he goes, I'll be honest. He goes, this was a horrible movie, and I did it for the fucking money. And then he looks at his publicist as if to say, fuck you, you don't get to control me. The publicist hated my guts, clearly, because I just made her client say something that she's supposed to stop from being said. And it was awesome. And all I wanted Nick you say is how long it's been since you masturbated. Okay, we should end at a different note.
Are we actually ending?
I don't want to end it. I want to stay with you forever.
Literally.
You have to go. And people don't want to listen for 3 hours, I guess, do they?
I wouldn't.
But there's a lot to talk to you about.
Good.
So can we do this again?
We will do it again.
One sec. Don't you look like you're literally going to leave.
I literally
okay,
leave.
We'll say, let me just say thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
But sincerely.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Was it?
Yeah, sure.
Was it regrettable? Is this a new regret?
This is me leaving.
Okay. Well, you don't like this kind of conversation? Ralph, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm literally driving Ralph Ben-Murgi out of the box.
All right, I'm going now.
Should we hug or something? Can I hug you?
Yeah, yes, you can hug.
Okay.
Don't masturbate on me.
There he goes. Ralph Ben-Murgi, everyone. He's leaving. Goodbye. I think it feels like Ralph, it feels like an awkward end. Come back. He's going, God, he's walking down the stairs. There's many stairs up to the clock tower or down from the clock tower. We're in podcasting here, and that was Ralph Ben-Murgi. He is a iconic media late night television, radio host, guy who ruined my life. I never really got to explain to him how he ruined my life. We just got started talking about other things. But he was influential in me thinking that I could have a late night talk show. in Canada because I saw that he had one. And so that's how this all happened. I wanted to bring him on the podcast to talk about other things, not masturbation and regret and emptiness and me wallowing in my own self-pity. But he's a spiritual advisor, so maybe I'll bring him back and we'll talk about what will make me better. Because who else is going to? Bullard? Strombo? Ed the Sock? Hope we didn't leave anybody else out who had a late night talk show in Canada. I don't think so. I can't think of anybody. If you can think of anybody else who had a late night talk show, I guess tweet me or social media me. And then, I'll apologize to them on social media. So this was this week's podcast. It didn't go like I thought, but Ralph taught me that, you know, you don't know how things are going to go. You don't know how it's all going to turn out. And then when it happens and it's over, you just can sit back and regret it. I think I regret that this podcast, truthfully. I think I regret not asking the questions that I was going to ask and just talking about the things that I want to talk about, like Canadian television, and he's got great stories about people he interviewed and so many things that he's done. And we didn't get to any of it. I hope you didn't regret listening to this week's podcast, but you probably do. And so join the club. And that's a good place for me to say goodbye and shut the microphones off so that I can go back down the stairs, through the cotton factory to the parking lot, into my van, and back on the road where I belong. All right, here I'm back in the van to get back on the road here. Thanks to Ralph Ben Murgi for taking some time and talking about masturbation and spiritual guidance. That's not what I wanted to talk about. I don't know what just happened. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to Ralph Ben Murgi. According to him, I'm going to meet somebody to interview and talk to, and life's going to be great, and I should be grateful. Yay! I'm grateful to all you people listening to the podcast. Goodbye, everybody.